Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. I'd like to begin by listening to the voice of the Holy Father.
Questa domenica è dunque un giorno quanto mai indicato per offrire alla Chiesa intera e a tutti gli uomini di buona volontà la mia seconda enciclica.
That was Pope Benedict speaking of the second encyclical of his pontificate by the title of Spes Salvi, or Saved by Hope.
Si intitola Spes Salvi.
It was on the first Sunday of Advent, a season which is preeminently in the Church, the season of hope. That's why this encyclical on hope can be considered a timely one, published to coincide with the beginning of the liturgical year, when the Sunday Gospel focuses on the final judgment, the end of human history as we know it, held out to us as a source of hope, not of terror. I mention all this to introduce my first guest speaker on today's broadcast. He's the Vice Dean of the Faculty of Theology at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome, Professor of Moral Theology, Dominican Father Bruce Williams. Father Bruce, who over the past few days has been sharing with us some of his thoughts on this encyclical, and in a few moments will continue to do so, expressing both admiration at the elegance of it, but also surprise, at first anyway, in reading some of the passages. He mentions in particular a passage focusing on judgment.
I will admit I was a little surprised at first. He quite frankly took on the caricature of judgment that had grown in modern Christianity, starting from early modern Christianity, as a frightful thing, you know, as expressed in the art of the period and since. And he transforms this, I should say retransforms this, back into the harbinger of hope that the icon of judgment was in the ancient church. It was the promise of the vindication of justice, finally, and for everyone.
Father Bruce then went on to remark to me how Pope Benedict follows these thoughts by moving on to write about purgatory, in a way that should make the Catholic faith not just palatable, but appealing. Let's listen.
Purgatory is presented as a way of bolstering our hope that the communion we have with others in love is not broken by the grave, that even across the boundaries of the grave, we can still reach out to others and help them with our prayers, join our prayers to theirs, as it were, as they are undergoing a purification, which he describes again very gracefully as being both painful because it is searing, but also as enlivening, as one comes into clear awareness of the glory of Christ, you know, and is being completely transformed into his image.
The music you've just been hearing announces the end of the encyclical. It's the Hail Mary, Star of the Sea, a prayer which addresses that notion of being on a voyage, needing guidance, and ultimately being able to depend upon the Star of the Sea.
Mary is chief among the saints, but she is indeed one among many saints, and for that matter, saints and angels, and saints here on earth, in whose help we can confide as if it were secondary objects of hope. All of this is embraced within our hope in God. We don't hope in Mary or any of the other creatures independently of our hope in God or as adding anything to what God is doing. But God works through the creatures, especially the creatures he has made in his own image. Often the way God does intervene and with his help in our lives is through the love and the ministrations of others. And we are expected to reach out for help. Pope doesn't stress this, but it was unmistakably there in his discussion of the appropriateness of depending upon the help of the saints and preeminently of Mary, that it would be a defect on our part to ignore these intermediate sources of help that God offers us. You know, they're not in competition with God. They come from God. And he has been saying throughout the encyclical that we likewise should be ministers of hope to one another. That by the good we do for one another, those others who are the beneficiaries of it are led to further hope. There's one point just on that, that the encyclical wasn't setting out to answer all questions. It was raising some provocative questions and inviting reflection and making some suggestions by way of answers that we might, at least what direction we might look in. But one of the questions that I feel was not expressly included here, but which I couldn't fail to see between the lines of what he was saying about Christians needing to be hopeful, and as people energized with hope and, of course, faith and love, ministers of hope to others, and first of all to one another. He's speaking, one would understand, of Christians as so many individual believers. But it also seems to me that this raises questions about the church corporately, that the church needs to be an agent of hope. It has to be perceived by people as an agent of hope, by its members, first of all, and also by others in the larger human community. A Canadian priest some years ago remarked, if the church is not experienced by people, including its own people, as an agent of hope, then it's experienced as a burden, and most people are already much too overburdened. So I find this encyclical inviting me to do is reflect more on how the church as community and those of us who are in various positions of leadership in the church community can help the church to become more completely, more adequately, more transparently a minister of hope. As I say, that's a question that is not even raised, let alone answered, in the encyclical. But it's one that the encyclical invites reflection on.
And the Pope writes that there's a crisis of faith in today's society, no? And that people are looking for hope in the wrong places.
Yes, but I mean, to play devil's advocate here for a moment, one could rejoin that the tendency to look for hope in the wrong places can be traced back historically to a time when people who had been accustomed to look to the church for hope were disappointed. I think a lot of these secularizing, liberalizing, individualizing influences that the Pope is criticizing as characteristic of the modern period arose partially, at least, in reaction to the deficiency of the church in those periods as a credible agent of hope. Would the French Revolution, which he mentions, for example, and all of its atrocious excesses, would that have been necessary if the church in France at that time had been a more credible minister of hope?
Our thanks there go to the Vice Dean of the Faculty of Theology at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome, Professor of Moral Theology, Dominican Father Bruce Williams. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.